Okay, so we're going to jump into thinking a little bit more now about marketing strategies and keys to effective marketing. One of the first principles is you have got to be the positive aging paradigm in your marketplace, in your community, because people are not seeing positive aging messages, right? Everything about aging is negative, right? I mean, for crying out loud, Burbank is like the capital of aging is bad, right? I mean, everything is anti-aging and, you know, don't grow old and, you know, Botox, get your wrinkles fixed. You know, not that it's a big deal if people are doing some of that stuff to look their best, but, you know, it's like aging is such a negative thing, right? I mean, basically, if you're a woman and you're over 40, you can't get a part anymore, right? I mean, Hollywood has sort of entrenched us to believe that to grow old is bad, right? So we have to be constantly communicating the opposite of that, right? So I posted on, if you don't like the Functional Aging Institute Facebook page, you should copy our stuff, share our stuff, use our stuff. So like I posted Growing Boulders meme of Ellen last week. So Ellen turned 60 this week or last week. She's been having birthday party events on her show, you know, so she has this hilarious meme that Growing Boulder captured, you know, like, I don't understand what this fuss is about over the hill, right? She's like, I'm turning 60. She's like, I thought over the hill meant you accomplished something, and now I'm going to get a snack, right? You know, so this is classic comic, right? So it is that concept of, like, there's a lot of positive elements to aging, right? Like, guess what? You don't get to be a grandparent if you don't get older, right? So there, you don't get to do lots of things if you don't get older. So Banana George Blair, I don't wait for the next thing to happen, I make it happen. He lived to be 98 years old. This is a picture of him water skiing at 98 years old. He hadn't water skied in a couple years and he decided, hey, I better get back out there and do it again. And oh, by the way, he did it barefoot. He was a professional water skier, I think through his 50s and continued to water ski all through life. But I mean, if you think about, wait a minute, 98 years old? What?
That's crazy.
Right? It's great, right? We think it's crazy, right? It sounds crazy, right? So amazing, right? He died a couple weeks later, right? But what it shows is he was still living at a very high level right before his death.
That's how I want to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely, right? So he's at a very high functional level. I mean, think about how much functional ability you have to be able to water ski, right? And he's doing it at 98, right? And holy cow, 88 would be amazing. 78's amazing, right? Dr. Charles Eugster is a champion of aging, recently passed away, I think, at the age of 97. Basically became a world masters champion in all kinds of things that nobody had ever competed in their 90s, right? Set the world record in the 100-meter dash, 200-meter dash, in rowing, and just took up sports that nobody was doing in their 90s. Interesting thing about him is he's a retired dentist, didn't start training until he was 81 or 82. It was at that age. This is one reason why, Mel, you never give up on some of these older guys. It wasn't until he was 81 or 82 that he said, he looked in the mirror and he said, I don't like the old guy I'm seeing looking back at me. And he decided, I'm going to start training. He started taking up weightlifting, bodybuilding, took up all kinds of different training, and went on to do all kinds of crazy things. I actually had a couple contacts with him to interview him in the last year or two, and then he up and died on me, and I never got the interview done. So I was like, dang it. So he literally went to bed with three books. I think he had three book deals, didn't wake up. So he was totally high functioning when he died. Again, a picture of what we want, right? We've confused illness with the process of aging, which can be thoroughly healthy. Illness is not a necessary part of aging.
That's awesome.
Right? Yeah, that is awesome. Awesome quote.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Like, aging is illness.
We hear it everywhere, right? We hear it everywhere,
like,
right?
You don't even think of, like, you can be totally healthy.
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right.
Aging can be totally healthy. Aging does not have to mean frailty. Doesn't mean weak. Doesn't mean dependence. Doesn't mean, yeah. But we've all been taught that for so long, right? Like, well, wait a minute. At some point, Jolene, when you get to be 90, then you're going to be sick and dependent and have somebody else have to take care of you, right? My grandmother just passed 2 weeks ago. And she basically was completely independent until the last 2 weeks of her life. And really, even the last 2 weeks of her life, like, some people still thought she was going to recover. Like, she fell in the bathroom and then went downhill real quick. And some people thought she was going to recover. And then all of a sudden, the doctor's like, she's not going to recover. And she's probably got 2 weeks to live.
But 2 weeks compared to 2 years.
Right. Right. And she was...
No, but 2 years in care. Like,
Right. Right. She was living completely independently. You know, like I think the second Sunday in December, she was going in playing piano for the Sunday school kids. The next Sunday she fell. Right. A couple Sundays later she died. You know, so it was like, so that's really the picture we want, right? She was not sick. She was not frail. She, you know, she wasn't as robust as these guys, but she was living life independently, right? So much so, like, I hadn't seen her in a year. I kind of took for granted that she was going to live several more years. You know, I was at her 90th birthday party last year and didn't really think much about it. Fortunately, I did get to see her before she died. So it's really funny, stubborn old gal trying to help her out of bed with the nurse. And we're trying to help her, and she's holding on to the bed rails, like, with everything she's got. 117 pounds. She's dying. There's, like, you know, she hadn't eaten in, like, 2 days. They're like, she's going to die any day, you know. Still really strong, holding on, and I'm like, Grandma, you gotta let go. She was trying to move her to a wheelchair. She's like, don't tell me what to do. I think my mom said that was the last real understandable thing she said. It was so funny. I'm like, that is classic, my grandma. So that was very much the way she was. Don't tell me what to do. Harriet Anderson is the oldest female to finish the Ironman World Championship. 79 years old. She finished with her arm in a sling. Her quote, I used to think 50 was old. I was wrong, not even close. Well, think about it. At 79, absolutely, when she was growing up, 50 was old, right? Mm-hmm. It absolutely was. When my 91-year-old grandmother turned 50, she was old, right? In fact, I was like 1 or 2 years old at the time, right? 50 used to be old. Absolutely not anymore. Ida is a hoot. Look her up on Facebook. There's videos of her doing the 100-meter dash and all kinds of crazy stuff. She's now 101, I think. Eat for nutrition, not for taste. Do what you need to do, not what you want to do. And don't leave out your daily exercise, love. Now look at the picture of the position she's in at 99 years old, right?
The joy on her face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when people say, oh, I can't get down on the floor. Really? Like, she's 99. She's in the push-up position. Yeah. Right?
There's just joy.
Yeah. Cool story. So she had started getting a little bit of notoriety, right? So it shows how people need role models, right? She started getting a little bit of notoriety. I think at the age of 100, she set another world record for the 100-meter dash, right? Basically because nobody had ever done it recorded before, right? This other old lady saw it. She's like, I can beat that. So she lines up, right? Her daughter or granddaughter lines up this track day. They're going to go out. They're going to beat Ida's record in the 100-meter dash, which was not a very impressive record, right? She gets there, gets in the track blocks. Starter fires the gun. Boom, she falls flat on her face. Not only does she fall on her face, but you can imagine a 100-year-old what their skin is like, right? I mean, look at her skin, right? She tears her chin open, blood everywhere, right? So all of a sudden this publicity stunt turns into a nightmare, right? Everybody's like, oh, this is a terrible idea. Why are we doing this? She's like, I'm still doing it, right? She's like, patch me up. She's like, and her daughter like wants to call the thing. Like, she's like, no, patch me up. I'm going to do it, right? So they patch her up. She does it, breaks the record by like 5 seconds.
No.
With this huge bandage on her chin. Yeah. But again, it's that aspect of we've got to have these aspiring images so people go, well, gee, I don't have to do the Ironman, but if at 79 she can do this, I can certainly
do a 5K.
I can certainly do that 5-mile hike with my grandson. I can certainly do, right? Because what happens? Our grandkids start saying, hey, Grandma, will you do this charity walk with me? And you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do a 5K charity walk, right? Well, gee, if Harriet can do an Ironman, right? Christy at 60, Sharon Stone at 56. Wait a minute. We just said 50 was old, right? Redefining again beauty, stereotypes, all those sorts of things. Ernestine Shepherd. If you haven't seen her on Steve Harvey, check that out. Okay, write that down.
Ernestine's about 84 now.
She's 80-something now, yeah. You'll find it on YouTube. I'm not sure where. So she was on Steve Harvey recently. It is a hoot. She gets him down and has him do push-ups, and I think she takes her outfit off into her bodybuilding outfit. And yeah, she's amazing.
She runs about six miles, little big shots forever.
Right, but when we were kids, that was 74 on the right.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's what we knew as
That's what we 70s. Expect, right? This is what we expect 70s to look like, right?
Yeah.
Not only do we see joy on her face, we see, what, withdrawn,
yeah.
Kind of loneliness, isolation.
Lonely, Yeah.
Right? It's sort of like I'm looking out at life happening out there, right? And I'm confined to the indoors, right? Ernestine did not start working out until she was about 57, 58
yeah.
years old.
Yeah.
Right? She's a self-prescribed prissy girl, right? She was like, I did not want to sweat. I didn't want to work out. She started late in life. So people sometimes people are like, oh, well, she's probably been working out since she was young. She built those muscles in her 20s and 30s. No, she didn't start working out till late in life. So when we're thinking about marketing messages, this is true for FitBuddy Bootcamp too. We've got to start with the right brain. We have to make that emotional connection, right? People don't sign up for FitBuddy Bootcamp or FitBuddy Forever because of how many sessions it is and what it costs, right? They make some sort of connection with what it's going to do for their life, what kind of results they're going to get, how fun it's going to be, right? It's very much the same in terms of how we choose a restaurant to go to, how we choose a car to buy, right? Like, we don't buy the car because, well, it's going to be exactly $399 for 72 payments and the APR, right? We want to know all those details at some point, but we buy the car, right? Like, you guys rented a car because you really wanted a convertible so you could drive around in California, right? There's an emotional connection to that, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
We saw when we walked
and
in, bragging
rights.
Like,
right.
Maybe that's our economy car. Yes,
right.
It was.
Right. You didn't find out, well, what exactly is the difference in the payment going to be? It was like, is there a slight difference? And like, is it going to be a hassle? No, you're like, ha, the emotional
connection. Like, that's it, right? He's like, yep.
Yeah, okay. You're like, we can't drive a convertible in Canada in the wintertime.
Nope.
So we got to start with that right brain connection, right? So make an emotional connection. Speak the language of aspiration, right? Well, what if you could take that amazing trip with your granddaughter? What if your knee pain could drop from an 8 to a 3, right? Mm-hmm. Chronic back pain is going to be one of the biggest things that you solve for people. People that have been suffering with back pain for 10, 20, 30 years, right? You move them from a 7 or 8 on the back pain scale down to like a 4 or 5, it's like life-changing. Tell a story. Tell lots and lots of stories, right? You don't have to have before and afters on your clients. Just tell their stories. Start sharing their stories.
Okay.
Be poignant. Give a glimpse behind the curtain of life, right? So you can share stories of the client, like Barb, who was like, you know, a year ago I fell, and I didn't know if I would ever be able to go to Europe again. I didn't know if I'd ever be able to play lousy golf again, right? And we got pictures of her out on the golf course, and she did go to Europe again. Ideally, use real people, not stock photos. Okay, then we go to the left, right? Then we give them the pertinent facts, right? The details, the nuts and bolts, the this is what we need you to do. We need you to come in and train with us 3 times a week, right? We got to build trust and create value. We can't just throw people like, hey, this is what the program is, right? We've got to have that emotional connection. That make sense? Okay. These concepts are true for anything we're marketing, right? Whether I want to sell an online fitness program, a FitBuddy Bootcamp, a FitBuddy Forever, whatever it is, right? We've got to start with that emotional connection. Why do I really want this? What's this really going to do for my life, right? Really important thing we think for FitBuddy Forever is to be even more open about your community-mindedness, your generative spirit towards charities, anything that FitBuddy Bootcamp is giving back towards, your Toys for Tots drive, right? Is that something that all FitBuddies do? Is that everybody does that?
Or
some do, some don't?
I mean, it was part of our HQ's...
Right, push,
promo.
Yeah.
And you either chose to push it or not.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it was supposed to be.
So, I mean, that's a social consciousness thing, right? Very important for aging boomers, right? We get to a certain age in life, and for some people it's 50, for some it's 60, for some it's not till they're 70, and we start to ask the questions about, well, what am I doing that's really giving back? What am I doing that's really meaningful, right? What am I a part of that's something bigger, right? How have I really made a difference, right? So that social consciousness is really important. Older adults are the largest volunteer force in the world. They're actually going green faster than any other age group. again, partially because they got there last. Right? They're like, what's this recycling thing? Oh, I got to sort my paper and bottles. But it's important to them. They connect with brands and companies that are socially conscious. You actually give them permission to buy your program if they know you're giving back to the local community. Right? It's like, well, yeah, I got to be a part of this Fit Body Forever program because you guys are giving to the schools, you guys are giving to Toys for Tots, you guys are giving to, right? So tap into their generative consciousness and include them in your efforts. Sometimes they'll absolutely blow you away. They'll thank you for the opportunity to give to things they didn't know about. So I'll give you an example. One of the things we did at Miracles Fitness, and I'm usually pretty willing to support certain causes. So in our town, and you guys probably have this, I'm sure you have it in California, we have what's called CASA, which is court-appointed special advocates. They're for children that wind up in the court system, right? So your parents are both strung out on drugs and there's no one to speak for you and now you're in the court system, right? Should we take you away from your parents? Should we place you in foster care? What happens to you, right? So court-appointed special advocates, there are thousands of them in our county, but they need funding. They need support. In some cases, some of these people have to spend a lot of time and energy, you know, because like you wind up in court over and over and over, right? And I got to take a day off work to come be your special advocate. So one of our clients who actually built our facility, built our build out, was doing a bike ride charity for CASA, right? Subaru is in our town and all the Subaru Outbacks are made in our town. So if you've ever seen a Subaru Outback in North America, it's been made in my town. So kind of cool. So they have a test track that's like 2 miles. And so they do this charity bike ride out on the test track once a year, right? So he comes to me and he's like, hey, is there any way maybe you could post a flyer at Miracles for this charity bike ride thing I'm doing? I'm like, I'll do you one better, right? Like, send me the donation page, send me a write-up, send me a blurb, tell me why you're doing this, and I'll email it out to my list, right? I'll email my entire list, tell them what you're doing, right? I didn't give them a dollar. It wasn't my thing. I just said, hey, I'll promote it. I'll make people aware of it, right? He's like, my goal is to raise $2,500. I want to be the number one fundraiser. My goal is to ride 200 miles. He does it solo. Some people do it in teams. He does it solo. He's a big cyclist. I'm like, okay, cool. So he writes a write-up, sends me the donation link, all this stuff. I send the email out, right, off to my list, my entire list, not just my clients, but, of course, emphasizing my clients. Hey, Pat is a fellow client. He's been training here. He's doing this, you know, and then give him his little space to do his write-up, right? He starts texting me. He's like, what did you do? I'm like, I told you I'd send an email to my list. That's what I did. He's like, who's so-and-so? He just gave me $100. Who's so-and-so? He just gave me $100. I'm like, well, that's a client. That's a client. I don't know who that person is, so probably not a client. The cool thing was he was the number one fundraiser. He raised over $4,500. His goal was $2,500. I think he generated about 2,000 from that email that day, and then the rest of it, we don't really know how much trickled in. The cool thing was how many of my clients then later thanked me, right? I mean, I basically hit them up for a fundraiser, right? But they thanked me. They're like, oh, we had no idea that CASA had this charity ride. Thanks so much so we could donate to Pat. That was really cool. How many miles did he ride, you know? Yeah, right. Super easy, right? Pat loved it. He was like, that was the easiest thing ever. I'm like, I told you, email marketing works. Yeah, so really cool, right? So include them in your efforts, right? So I'll show you another example of that here in just a little bit. Yeah, here it is. So Miracles for Murdoch. Murdoch is a low-income school. The town I live in is West Lafayette. So West Lafayette is where Purdue University is. So there's 10,000 employees of a major Research One institution that are many of them very well paid. The professors are certainly very well paid, very educated. West Lafayette, you think the public schools are good there? They're off the charts. We're usually number one or number two in the entire state in a small community, right? My kids go to a high school that's 700 kids, and they're either the number one or number two high school every year. It's crazy, right? But I mean, think about it. Like, when you go to the open house, it's almost annoying, right? Because it's like everybody has a PhD, everybody's an expert. So what are they doing in physics this year? I'm like, seriously, really? Can you get over yourself? It's a little overboard, but it's great because the schools are great, right? Murdoch is 10 minutes away. Guess what? It's on the other side of the river. It's over in Lafayette. And they don't even have an open house because no one would come, right? I mean, it's crazy, right? It's not really a rough part of town or anything. It's just, it's low income. It's a lot of single parent families. It's definitely not West Lafayette. It's not educated. It's not high income, right? So my wife goes to our fourth or fifth grade open house, and she's like, it's ridiculous. You know, she's like, I feel bad because I'm there by myself, right? She's guilt tripping me. I'm like, you realize I was at our junior high kids' open house. We have too many kids, right? She's like, yes, I know, but still I felt bad because half the room has two parents in it, right? And the teacher's like, I need a new rat cage. Done, right? I need art supplies. Done. I need snacks. Done. She's like, by the end of the night, like, more parents had walked up and just given her $20, and, oh, I'll buy that, I'll bring this, and I'll do, you know. I was like, what did we get? She's like, I got, like, a case of Kleenex or something, you know. I was like, and so then I said, I wonder what open house is like at Murdoch. Mm. And she's like, yeah, I wonder. So she calls Janelle. We had actually seen Janelle, the principal, recently talk about Murdoch and some mentoring things they were doing, and they were trying to get big brothers and get more adults to come in and mentor. And I said, I wonder what it's like there. So she calls Janelle. Janelle starts laughing on the phone, right? She's like, what do you mean open house? She starts chuckling. She's like, we don't have open house. We don't have open house. And my wife's like, what do you mean? She's like, no parents would come. She's like, we know the parents that would come, the one or two parents per classroom that might come, so we don't bother doing it. She said, well, what about all the special things teachers need or the extra projects or whatever? She said, we don't do any of that stuff, right? She's like, huh, that's really interesting. So I said, well, let's do something for them, right? So my wife came up with this board idea. She got these apple-shaped Post-it notes. These are red and green apples. And we went to the principal and we said, okay, your K through 5 teachers get to make their wish list, right? As if 20 parents showed up, this is what I want to ask for, right? Yeah, it was interesting because nobody had ever done this for them before. So you know what they did? They didn't know what to do,
right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So they come back with,
like, what should
we need? Right. So the list was like pencils. It was like paper clips. It was like all this basic, really pitiful stuff, right? Yeah. In fact, even the principal was like, this is embarrassing. You know, the principal was like, we supply all these things to you guys. It's in the office. You have all the paper, pencils. And so I said, tell them to try harder. Like, I want their wish list, right? Like, what's the stuff they never get for their classroom unless they pay for it themselves, right? So they finally come back with, like, bean bags and carpet squares and Uno and board games and iPad headphones. And I was like, that one threw me. I was like, iPad headphones? I was like, wait a minute. I thought this school doesn't have money. Principal's like, the state gives us 6 iPads for every classroom, but we get no iPad headphones. Do the kids show up with them? No. So the teacher has to provide them or figure it out, right? I was like, iPad headphones. Never thought of that. That's brilliant, right? They're not that expensive. Earbuds are like $5, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're in a classroom where the parents don't care and you show up to school and you don't have headphones, I'm like, that's crazy. The state is spending thousands of dollars to give them iPad technology in the classroom, but not giving them earbuds, right? So we make this board. It was about 100 items. I think we had about 2 rows left on the bottom, right? All this stuff. We had like 6 or 7 tables full. Like, basically every classroom teacher got a table full of stuff, from games to carpet squares to just all kinds of stuff, right? Again, our clients thanked us, right? It's literally like the school across the river. Why are we not doing more for them, right? So really easy to do. I think my wife went out and bought 2 or 3 of these things off of there, and we contributed 2, right? This here, pink hard hat, Habitat for Humanity. In our community, they probably do this in yours too. They do an all-women's build. Have you ever seen these pink hard hats?
We do something similar, yeah.
So they do an all-women's build. And what they do is they go out and they find male business owners and say, hey, here's a pink hard hat. If you raise $250, you get to keep the pink hard hat. If you don't, you have to give it back to us. So I certainly raised $250, right?
Yeah,
I
was being
like, right, you're like, I'm not going to give it back to you. So we did a whole bunch of shameless social media stuff with me and the pink hard hat. So much so, it was a little ridiculous. So much so, Ultimate Pink Party, which has nothing to do with this. Ultimate Pink Party is a breast cancer awareness fundraising event. They were like, we want you to come to the event and wear the pink hard hat. I was like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. Which I did. Yeah, exactly. It was a little annoying. So we also did a giant food drive, pound for pound challenge. I think we got the mayors involved in that one.
Mayor, that's awesome.
So this is the mayor of West Lafayette. This is the mayor of Lafayette and their buddies. They used to be on the police force together.
Oh, jeez.
Both former cops. And they're both pretty popular mayors. And so we asked them, hey, will you come out and support this big food drive campaign? You know, and they're like, sure. And then we said, we didn't really tell them exactly what we wanted. We're like, well, could you do like a cameo workout? They're like, sure, that'd be fun. So we made them go through a 30-minute training session, the whole thing. We filmed the whole thing and turned it into like a 3-minute promo video. They're like, I thought we were doing like a cameo workout. We're like, yeah, it's going to take us a while to get it all. It was a blast. They had a good time. So Matt put him through the whole training session. And the funny thing is, this is like 2010 or 11. It's probably 6 or 7 years old, at least. I still get mileage out of this. They're still both the mayors, which helps. So I can run this video, and people will be like, which mayor won? I'll be like, well, neither mayor won, but the food bank actually won $10,000 grant for all the publicity we generated for them. So it was really cool. So fun publicity stunt. If you can get on local TV, you totally should do that. Has Egan got on TV yet? Okay. Has he done anything for Fit Body Forever yet?
Not yet.
There we go. Mm-hmm. What time's he on?
Before I wake up. 5, 6, the morning news.
The morning news?
Yeah.
Who do you?
How old is Egan?
Is Egan 55 already?
No.
I was guessing he was 50. I don't know. I was guessing he was 50, but. So, interesting, you said the news is on before you wake up?
Yes.
Yeah. Who do you think is watching that news?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to do some Fit Body Forever stuff there for sure. Yeah. So, you might have to get up and come in and do some stuff with him. Or he can do it. He can totally do it.
What time was that?
Yeah, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., super early. Yeah, yeah.
What time do you get up?
5:30-ish, if I have.
If I have to, yeah.
But then I get all four kids ready in 2 minutes and throw them in the car.
Yeah.
We have four kids too.
Yeah.
Oh, and so he's on the morning news, the 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. segment.
Yeah, early. He has a 10-minute segment. He does a short workout every.
Every week.
Every other week.
Only. Every other week. Okay.
I just see it on his calendar. That's all I know.
Yeah, I was on the news every other week like that too for about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Huge. Power, right? Huge power, because people will come in a year or two later and be like, oh, I've been seeing you on the news, right? Well, for how long? Oh, for a long time, but it just takes a while. They finally come in. So you definitely should do some Fit Body Forever stuff on the news. Because, I mean, let's be honest, are people under 40 watching the TV news anymore? Not really. So TV, I mean, Egan's already been established as the trusted advisor, right? Like, I mean, he's well-known in Hawaii. He's kind of established himself, right? So he's already a trusted advisor. Being on TV makes you a more trusted, credible source. For whatever reason, if you've been seen on TV, you're more legit, right? You just are. So, if Shauna could get on, that'd be.
She's been on a few times.
She has, okay. Fit Body Forever.
Yeah.
And now she has a new reason to get on, right? It's a whole new angle, right? It's a new program. Nobody's addressing the fitness needs for the 60-plus community. Yeah. We are, right? So it's a new reason to get on TV. So when you pitch it to the news station as to why Shauna should get on, it's the reality of, okay, so there's one other person in the entire city of Calgary that's addressing the needs. I mean, basically no one is addressing the needs of the 60-plus, right?
Yeah.
So if one person is, it's not enough. So
no.
You can certainly publish a book through us. This is Bryce's book here. This is Shelley Turk, Saskatoon. So you change the preface because the preface is about you. You change the about you. About the author's section. You change out the testimonials. You can put in some of your own clients. But otherwise, the book's written for you, right? So literally, you can have the book in about 30 days, right? Because it's already published. It's already printed. What we need is a cover. We need a title. We need the preface. It's about 3 hours of work, right? You have to write a preface. You have to write an about you section. And you've got the biggest work is the cover, right? Because you have to have images. We've published about 40 of these books now. It's the best marketing tool. Stephen Hadley has done it. His book is called The Pinnacle, I think. The reason it's such a good marketing tool is it infiltrates so many places, right? You know, if you have a doctor who's a fan of you, you take him 10 copies, right? If you have a massage therapist, a physical therapist, you take them copies of the book, right? If you have 10 or 12 clients who are like, fitness is a hard referral anyway. I always tell people this. We underestimate how hard it is to refer fitness, right? Like, if you get the best pedicure ever, you'll refer that person.
Yes.
Right? But if you have a personal trainer, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like you're telling them they need
fitness. It's like, well, you're kind of out of shape like I am. You should go see my trainer. And they're like, what? You know, so, and it's sort of private, too. It's like, I don't even know if I want people to know I'm trying to lose 20 pounds, right? So sometimes people actually keep us a secret. right? If they don't keep us a secret, they don't refer us aggressively, right? I mean, they're not out beating the streets, right? They don't leave Fit Buddy Boot Camp and go tell their 10 friends, oh, you got to come to boot camp with me, right? But they actually get proud of giving their trainer's book away, right? Because they're like, my trainer's pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. He's got a book, right? So it's a really nice tool. Lisa totally changed her studio. She's in Corpus Christi, Texas. She'd been there 20 years. Stagnant, business wasn't growing. She was basically at the point where she was thinking about quitting, closing up shop, like just retiring and doing something else. She was doing about $200,000 a year in revenue and should have been doing way more. Did the book, led to about $60,000 in new clients. Her business last year did over $300,000. So in about 2 years, she's totally transformed her business. She's like, now everybody knows who I am. She's like, and I've been here 20 years. They should have known who I was. Not everybody knows who she is, but she's gotten 1,200 books out in her community, and she's gotten them out in the right places,
yeah,
you know. So the return on it is really powerful. So it's not a cheap marketing tool. It does cost a couple $1,000 for us to put this together for you. But once you have it, it's literally a $2 giveaway, right? I tell people, you find 10 book dealers, right, like your drug dealers, and you get them giving the book out, right, all over the place, right?
So $2,000 to do the cover and everything, or what's the quantity of books that you would get for that, or is there that on top?
That's on top. So you order as many as you want. They're about $2.20 a piece to print.
Okay, so $2,000 set up, and then
yeah,
$2.50. $3 Canadian.
Yeah. We'll actually help you find a, because Shelley's in Canada, we'll actually help you find a Canadian printer, because if you print in Amazon, U.S., and then ship, it gets over $3 a book. So, yeah, we have some Canadian printers. Yep. So it's a pretty nice tool. Here's Shelley in Saskatoon. She leveraged the fact that she was training the TV news anchor. So she sort of made her star, right? So if you have a person of influence or someone who's well-known or somebody who's recognizable or somebody who a lot of people know or someone who even your avatar, a lot of them know, right? Use them, leverage them, right? So like I was on the TV news for a long time and we trained the TV anchors, but because of the contract, we couldn't show them as clients, right? Until they no longer worked at the news station. Right. So as soon as they didn't work at the news station, I was like, boom, we're putting you in every promo video we can, right? We ran a one-minute commercial with me interviewing the two news anchors. It was a hoot. And we would run it, when we would run that commercial, during the news. People would come and be like, oh, I saw you on the news this morning. I was like, I wasn't on the news this morning. That was a commercial. That's really funny. They didn't even realize that your brain, you've been seeing the same news anchor for years. You don't realize, wait, they're not on the station anymore, right? Yeah, we specifically said, I want to run this one-minute spot. I want to run it in the morning news, and I want it running between 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m., right? Because Laura Kirtley had been the morning news anchor for 3 or 4 years, and I had been on the news with her for 3 or 4 years, right? So now we just
did.
She didn't work there anymore, so we could run an ad. Yeah. So this is Shelley. This is actually a Facebook ad, CTV Saskatoon Morning Live. And they did a live TV presence, and then she turned that into a Facebook ad. Right, so they had been there live. And then here's her in the paper. So you had talked about this, right? So if you can get an article or a feature in that thing, right? So again, here's Shelley. Ageless Fitness, this is, we've already provided this to you. This is in the Facebook group. It's also in the members area in FBBC University. You want to be providing free resources, you want to be providing free ebooks, you want to be providing things that people want. The nice thing about the book is it's a really powerful tool for public speaking, right? Because now I'd love to come speak at your event and give my book away. Oh, you have a book? Right? If I can get into an audience of 20 people and give my book away, that's a home run, right? Even if it costs me $3 a book, one person becomes a client. I mean, I'll give away 20 books to get one client all day long, right? So create a category of one. This is actually a whole lot easier than Fit Buddy Bootcamp, right? Yeah, which you're probably told to do that. But now, don't
be the only one anyway.
Yeah, you're the only one. Don't be better. Don't be different. Be unique. Be original, right? no one really is going to be doing quite what you're doing, right? Probably your closest competition is going to be a one-on-one trainer that's going to be 3 to 4 times the price. And in a lot of cases, they're not going to be a functional aging specialist. So their approach to training older adults might still be old school, might not be as effective. Everybody else isn't really going after this market, right? So you're definitely all alone. No one quite does it the way you're going to do it, right? It's personal training in a small group. It's functional aging training. We're focused on how to get you as functionally able to do whatever it is you like to do and want to do in life, right? Methodology, equipment, environment, results, process, beliefs, images, assessments, movements, language, all these things. What sets FitBody Forever apart, right? Why are you different? How do you stand out? Right, well, our trainers are certified through the Functional Aging Institute. That's a big one, right? There's lots of certified trainers in every market, right? There are not lots of functional aging specialists, right? There are not. There's only 3,000 total in the world, and of those 3,000 total, only about 900 have actually gotten certified and finished the whole program, so there's not that many, right? In Canada total, I think there's about 70 certified in the whole country. There's not that many. Shelly Turk was the first and only functional aging specialist in Saskatchewan, right? So leverage the functional aging specialist, leverage the certification, leverage FAI, leverage the fact that me and Cody both have PhDs. The reality is most of the fitness organizations don't have the kind of credentials that Cody and I have, right? If you go to ACE and you start to actually look at the ACE personal trainer course, like, wait a minute, this isn't really written or developed by people with PhDs, right? That doesn't mean they have to be, but like the experts they have that develop their certified personal trainer course don't have the depth of expertise that Cody and I have. So you can leverage that. You know, leverage the fact that you met me. Leverage that. Cody and I are asked to speak. Yeah, leverage it. It matters to this population, right? Cody and I are asked to speak around the world because we're experts on aging and fitness. And it's actually a global crisis. There are a lot of countries that are not ready for their population to get old at all. So. Trainer of the year. That's right. That's right. Utilize terminology that sets you apart, right? So that's things like, it's not about age. It's about functional ability. No trainers are talking like that, right? They're not. They're going to be like, oh, you're 70? We don't care. You're going to still do as many burpees as if you were 30, right? They're not talking about functional ability. They're not talking about those kinds of things. So,
are there some other words? Like, I do use that one, but I'm not.
Yeah, we'll go through some more when we, in a little bit, we're going to break down kind of the difference between boot camp and FitBody Forever, right?
Love it.